Over these last few months, we've been looking at God's ultimates from the scriptures, the greatest person ever lived, the Lord Jesus, greatest event in human history, Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, greatest message ever told, the message of the gospel, greatest gift ever offered, eternal life, greatest life change to be experienced, greatest assets that can be acquired, greatest assignment ever delivered to spread that good news. Then we talked about the ultimate guide for life and living is God's Word. And last week, we talked about the greatest communication system available through prayer, seeking God together through prayer. And today, I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Letters of Peter. And I want to talk about the greatest security possible. People go to great lengths today to get their property secured, to make themselves safe, because we live in a world we fear what might happen to us. Car alarms get ever more sophisticated because we're worried that somebody might break into our car, steal it, or steal the contents. I know now on insurance forms, when you fill your insurance form out for your motor insurance, it asks you what kind of an immobilizer you have on the car. Now, how many of us have a single clue as to what kind of an immobilizer we've got on our car? Is it a Thatcham one? That's the question. Thatcham. Thatcham is a facility down in Berkshire where things like that are tested. I only know that because the factory I used to work for, Stirling Cables, our headquarters was next door to it at Thatcham, at Aldermaston, near Aldermaston in Berkshire. And so people go to great lengths to keep themselves safe and secure because the world is very uncertain. We go to great lengths when we invest our money, those who are blessed enough to have some money to invest. And we're worried, especially today, in today's climate, what is the best way, the safe way to invest our savings to make sure that we don't lose them in some stock market crash or some bank failure. And we worry, society worries today about so many things. We worry about our health, don't we? We worry what might happen to us. And just thinking of little Divine this morning, he's got his whole life before him. The potential that is in that boy. And yet, the Bible also says, and we must understand this morning, that we have an enemy. Just as we have a God in heaven who wants to look after us, who wants to bless us and help us, so we have an enemy. The Bible calls him Satan. And his purpose, Jesus said, is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what he wants to do to you. And to me, and to every human being on this planet, because his sworn aim in existence is to come against everything that God has done. That's why there is so much evil in the world today. People blame God for it. They say, well, why doesn't God? Why does God allow? But we must understand that everything that's rotten, everything that's evil, everything that's wrong in the world today has its origins in Satan. And everything that's good and right and blessed has its origins in God. And so just as we have a God who wants to bless us, we have an enemy who wants to curse us. And that is why we need to live not just under the security of a house alarm or a police presence or anything else. We need to live under the security of God. Amen. And so let's read these scriptures together. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But we'll read from verse 3. You're going to have to excuse me a minute. I'm going to wear my reading glasses this morning. Seems that after I've done praise and worship, I always have trouble reading for some reason. I think I get a bit hot. Okay, verse 3. That's better. I can see where we're going now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise the Lord for that. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us this morning. Give us a living hope, not a dead hope, not just a hope of heaven when we die, but a living hope, something that's with us every day of our life, a new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. We were born once. Little baby divine was born a few weeks ago, and he came into this world the natural way, praise the Lord. But Jesus said, when talking to Nicodemus, one birth is not enough. You have to be born again, because our spirits need to be born. Nicodemus couldn't figure this out. He said, why? I've got to go back into my mother's womb. I can't do that. I'm a man. Jesus said, you're not understanding. This is an operation of the Spirit of God. And just in the same way that you were born of water, you must be born of the Spirit. And we have to come to that place where we lay our life down before God and say, just as I was born into this world because of my parents, I need to be born because of you. And let the Lord bring our spirits to life. We have to ask him. And that's what Peter is talking about here, where he says he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. You see, our earthly heritage, our earthly inheritance, our earthly wealth does suffer corruption, doesn't it? Jesus said it would. He said, moth and rust corrupt. Well, the moths attack the clothing and the rust attacks the car. Is this not true? Especially the older cars. Oh, I've had some rust buckets in my time, I tell you. I had a car once, the back door nearly fell off it. It was so rusty. It was an old Mini Clubman. The back door nearly was falling off. There was that much rust on it. And so it's true, isn't it? Whatever we buy, it starts to decay from the moment we buy it. It doesn't get better. You buy a computer and you set it up there. I'm no expert in computers, you know that. But this I know, to my detriment, that you set up a nice new computer in your house, a nice new laptop or whatever, and oh boy, does it work fast. You know, it whizzes through, you know, the connection to the internet. It's connected up, it's going, you know, in 10 seconds flat, everything's working wonderfully. And then when you've had it on the net for a while, and you've started adding programs to it, and suddenly it develops a mind of its own. Have you noticed this? And then, no, well, I know you haven't, because, but it does, it develops a mind of its own. And then you find it won't do the things that you ask it to. I'm convinced that one day computers are going to take over the planet and lock us all out. Because from the moment that we start with any new thing, it starts to get worse. It doesn't get better. Things start to degrade and to decay. The moment you buy your food from the supermarket, you better eat it within the sell-by date, otherwise it will go rotten. And that's how it is with everything in this world of ours. It's all subject to decay. And so that's why it's so important that we realize that we have an inheritance here that can never perish, it can never be spoiled. It's in heaven waiting for us when we leave this life. And as we work for the Lord Jesus, as we put him first in our life, it's like putting savings into the bank of heaven. The Bible says that our rewards precede us to heaven. Before we get there, our rewards are there. And every time we do something for Jesus, every time we do something in the name of Jesus, even if it's giving a cup of cold water, Jesus said, we receive a reward. Sometimes the reward comes in this life, but sometimes it's stored for us. Now, we can't imagine that, how that's going to be in heaven. It's beyond our understanding. We can't imagine what we will be like when we leave this life, when we leave these bodies behind. But the Bible describes it as glorious, wonderful, blessed, happy, pain-free. No more death, no more decay, no more destruction, no more devil trying to destroy us. No more sickness, nothing. When we see him, the Bible says, we'll be like him. We'll be absolutely perfect. And that is our inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven. It can never fade, the Bible says. And then in verse 5, he goes on and he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Wonderful. As we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, it's like he draws his shield over us to protect us from, as the Apostle Paul put it, the fiery arrows of the enemy. We live under his shield. The picture here, because Peter and Paul and the other apostles were writing in Roman times, they draw heavily on the military analogies of their day, of what it was like in Roman times. And of course, if you've ever seen any of the films where the Roman army is featured, they had this thing where they made like with a tortoise with their shields. You must have seen that. Where if they want to advance and the enemy is pelting them with rocks and arrows and things, that every man put his shield up above his head, and they formed one unit, and they marched together as one unit with their shields above their heads, and they became utterly invincible. Nothing could stop them when they marched together in step like that with their shields over their heads. And the Bible says we have a shield of faith. And it's when we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus, that our shield is raised over our heads, raised over our family, and no longer can the fiery darts, the fiery arrows from Satan penetrate that shield, because God says, I will be your protection. He talks in the scripture about living under the shadow of his wings. I love that. That is just so good. And the picture there is the mother hen, who at night when the chicks have been running around all day, she gathers the chicks under her wings. And they sleep there in safety under the wings of the mother. And that is the picture that God paints in the Bible of what he wants to do for each one of us. That's how much he loves us today, is to gather us under the protection of his wings. He says, the sun shall not smite you by day, the moon by night. You don't need to be afraid of the things of the enemy, because God gathers us under the shadow of his wings. So there he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, that though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when our Jesus Christ is revealed. And so the things that we go through now, we go through in a different way than if we didn't have the Lord in our lives. Yes, we still go through things. Just because we belong to Jesus doesn't mean that we're immune from the problems of life. It doesn't mean that. But it means that when we go through them, There's somebody going through them with us who strengthens us and gives us grace. We talked the other week about grace to help in time of need. How the Apostle Paul, a tremendous man of God, possibly the greatest man of God that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus, and yet he had this problem. We think it was his eyes. 3 times he prays, "Oh God, take this away, heal me." God says, "No, because my grace is sufficient for you. I'll get you through this, Paul." Yes, you don't like it. And there are things in all our lives that we don't like. We don't want them to be there. We wish they weren't there. And sometimes God does take them away. Thank you, Lord. But other times he says, "No, I'm going to take you through this." And yesterday we visited Adrian and Violet, and we were just fellowshipping together. And we were talking, and Christine said how difficult it must be to live today in this world of ours without the presence in our hearts of the Lord Jesus. How difficult it must be. Because there's so much pressure. We were talking about stress. So much stress. But when we have the presence of the Lord Jesus in our hearts, we have a peace in our minds, we have an assurance that everything that's going to happen to us happens because God has allowed it, and that it will work something in us and we'll be able to use it to help others with. You know, even the difficulties, the negative experiences that we go through, God can use those from us to help other people. You can associate with people far more easily when you've been through what they're going through. If you've been through grief, you can sit with somebody who's grieving. If you've got a sickness, you can associate with people who are sick. If you've got sadness, you can associate with those who are sad. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And when we've been through things, we have that life experience, but also we have that assurance with God that he's carrying us through. It's that picture that is often sold even in places like Blackpool, and you see it everywhere, the footprints. You know, it's not Bible. It's not in the Bible. Some people get mixed up with things like this, don't they? But it's very real and very right what it's saying. How there's this picture of two sets of footprints walking side by side in the sand. And the going gets very difficult. And perhaps the sand is very soft. And suddenly, one set of footprints disappears. And the person cries out, "God, why have you left me? Where are you? Don't you know that it's got too difficult? And now there's only me making footprints. Where are you? Why are you not walking beside me anymore?" And the answer comes back from God, "Oh, you're wrong, my child. Those are my footprints. I'm carrying you." You know, and that's how it is, isn't it? When we hit those hard times, God carries us through because we're under the shadow of his wings. So let's have a look at a few more scriptures this morning. Let's turn back into the Old Testament to the book of Psalms. Psalm 91. The book of Psalms is a wonderful place to go to when we're feeling the pressure of life. It's just life experience of these people who wrote the Psalms. Psalm 91. This is a tremendous assertion of God's love and power and grace in our heart. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Praise the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. You see, it's that same picture again of living under the shadow of his wings. We love to be in our houses when the storm is raging outside. We don't want to be out there, do we? We want to be in shelter. We want to be protected. Sometimes at night we can lie in our beds and we can hear the rain beating on the window and we can hear the wind howling outside and we think, oh, I'm so glad I'm in here and I'm not out there. And we feel secure in our house because we know that the elements can't get at us there. And that's how it is when we live in Christ. When we live in Him, we're living under His shelter. We're living under His roof. And He says, I'll protect you there. I'll help you there. And the psalmist says here, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now, a refuge is somewhere that you run to when you're in trouble. And a fortress is somewhere that keeps us safe when the enemy attacks. Amen. We were in Conway Castle a few weeks ago when Leah and Ander, Yonel and Anka's children were here. We visited Conway Castle and we were in there. And the walls of that castle are so thick. And it's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And though armies have attacked it and the weather has battered it all these years, it's still standing there strong. And even today, it would be a place of safety in a time of attack. It's so strong and so well built. And that's how it is. When the trouble comes, we run into the fortress of the Lord. We run into the refuge, that place that God has prepared for us. And the way we do it is by prayer. We just simply come, Lord God, help. Help me. Help me. And He promises that we'll dwell under His shadow. He goes on in verse 3. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. You see, as we've already said, we have an enemy who lays traps for us. He wants to trip us up. He wants to snare us. He wants to catch us. He wants to get us out of the blessing of God. He wants to pull us out of this Christian life that we're living. He wants to destroy our faith. And He said that He's going to save us from that, from the deadly pestilence. Oh, the world today is so worried about disease and AIDS and flus and epidemics and pandemics and this and that and the other. So worried about such things, waiting for this next terrible thing to come upon the world. Well, the Bible says there that God says that He will keep us from the deadly pestilence. Praise the Lord. And so we can be strong in Him. He says He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Now, I've told you this story before and I don't always remember it correctly, so you'll have to forgive me. But I read it in Word for Today many years ago and it's always stuck with me. The story of the hen in the barn. Those of you, there are some of you who have heard me say this before, but there was a farmer, and I believe it was in America, in the Midwest of the US. It's a true story, this. Farmer was, he had a hen, and the hen had chicks. And she used to take the chicks into the barn at night, keep them safe and warm. She'd made a nest in the hay that was in the barn, and every night she would take the chicks in and put them under her wings and settle down for the night. And there they were, safe and warm and dry and a really good place. But one night tragedy struck and the barn caught fire. It burned to the ground. There was nothing could be done. Next day the farmer went out to survey the damage and all that was left was a smouldering heap where his barn had been. And as he was sifting through the debris, he found the mother hen. And she was dead, she was burnt, she was in a mess. But when he lifted her body up, underneath her body were all the little chicks, all safe and well. That mother hen had given her life, stayed at her post, didn't flinch, even though she died herself, she gave her life to protect her children. Now this is what God is talking about here. In Psalm 91, when He says, you will dwell under His feathers. Under his wings we find refuge. And the Lord Jesus did exactly what that mother hen did, because he came and died so that we don't have to face eternal death. He came and died to give us the gift of eternal life. He came and bore the guilt and the sin that we have in our lives so that we don't have to. He did it for us. He died in our place, the Bible says. He came and did it so we don't have to suffer the punishment of a lost eternity, away from God, where everything evil is. Jesus died, and he says, I will gather you under my wings, where you'll be safe, eternally safe, safe forever. That's the offer that he gives to every one of us today. He goes on there in verse 5, he says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Praise the Lord. No disaster will come near our house. We can trust God that whatever the enemy throws our way, that he will keep us under the shadow of his wings. And when problems do occur and difficulties come, with David, we can say his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And even when the worst things happen, we know that there is a home in heaven. Even if the worst things happen, to be absent from this life is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so even death loses its sting, as the Bible says. Even death, that greatest fear of all people everywhere, the thing that we fight and fight against all the time, aging and dying. Oh, everything is, you know, fighting against that. Michael Jackson fought against death all his life. He must have been so afraid to die. So afraid. Wanted to be the eternal youth. And yet even that last and most fearful enemy has lost its power over us when we come to the Lord Jesus. Because we know that to be present from this body is to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to just wind up this in a minute, but the Apostle Paul said, he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I'm in a quandary. I don't know whether it's better to live on for the sake of the church, because they need my help and my ministry, or whether to die and go straight into the presence of my Lord. He said, I don't know what to do. I guess really he didn't have a choice anyway at that time. But that was his heart. His heart's desire was to go and be with the Lord who he loved, who he'd met on that Damascus road and he'd served all his life after that. And that was his heart's desire. But his spirit was saying, I know the church needs you. I don't know whether to depart or to remain, he says. And that's how convinced he was that even that last great enemy, death, is not an enemy anymore when we know the Lord Jesus. And we know that when we pass through those gates of eternity, the first thing we'll see is the face of Jesus, who will say, welcome in, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so when we're in Christ, when we're living under the shadow of his wings, when we've committed our ways to him, as we said this morning, as we prayed with Little Divine, that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. You see, we go off course, we go astray, we do things wrong, we get things wrong when we don't put God first. The world is in the state it's in today because it's rejected God, turned its back on God's teaching, turned its back on the Word of God, and is doing it its way. But God says, acknowledge me in all your ways. Put me first, seek me first, and I will direct your paths. And don't we want our paths directing? We don't want to have to work it out ourselves. We get it wrong so often. But if we put it in God's hands, He has a way of bringing things round for our benefit. In verse 11, and we'll close with this thought this morning, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Oh, there's a big hoo-ha today about angels. Celebrities who believe in angels. Oh, it's a big thing. You can buy books on it in these weirdo shops. You know, the New Age shops where they sell the crystals and the tarot cards and all the stuff that God says don't go near. And yet, next to the tarot cards, you find the books on angels. Listen, without God, you can't have angels. Without Jesus, there's no angels. And yet, Jesus said of the children, He said that in me, their angels are ever before my Father's face in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so if we want angels to watch over us, which the psalmist here is saying that God will give His angels charge over us, they'll be working for us. If we want that, then we have to put our faith and our trust in Him. And He will direct His angels. That's what it says there. He will direct His angels. And the same angels that came to Mary and to the shepherds and ministered there that first Christmas day, the Bible says they are messengers of God for you and I. And so it's real. It's real today. The ministry of angels is very real. Those times in our life when suddenly we've been protected from something. You know, how many times has disaster been coming towards us and suddenly we've been protected? Because God has sent His angel to guard us and watch over us, as the psalmist said. That I was preaching at, as you know, I was not here last Sunday night. I was at Westy. And I was telling them of the occasion when we were coming back from Mum and Dad's when they lived in Scotland. And we were on the motorway, on the M6, coming over Shap Summit, heading back towards home. And there was, in those days, the roads were clear, not like they are now. And there was not a car in sight on the M6. Three lanes clear. And I was in the second lane, just cruising along. And in those days, it was before I started to go to Romania, so I used to travel a bit faster then. I've learnt patience now. And I was probably doing it maybe 80 miles an hour, maybe a little bit more. Not much more. 80 miles an hour in the third lane, not a car on the road, just cruising along, going home. And suddenly there's this overwhelming feeling in my mind, in my heart. Get out of this lane. Get into the first lane. And I pulled over immediately into the inside lane, and not 300-400 yards in front of the car, there was a lorry tyre right in the middle of the motorway. You know, God sent His angel to warn me of what was to come. And I obeyed the call and moved quickly out of the way. And I don't know what would have happened, but you know how big lorry tyres are. It would have certainly made a mess. And then there was another occasion when we'd been down in Stafford. And I was getting some video equipment for the ministry from a place in Stafford. And we were coming back again on the M6, heading back from Stafford. And a lorry came past us. And a plank of wood, what we used to call a batten when I used to work at Stirling Cables, a big plank of wood about so long and so thick, came off the back of the lorry and went straight through the windscreen of the car. And praise the Lord, there I am in the third lane. I can't see anything. This thing has come through the windscreen. The children are in the back of the car, only young at that time. And by the grace of God, I was able to get right from the third lane into the onto the hard shoulder without any problem whatsoever. And we were protected. And again, as we were going to Romania last year, and the wheel came off the trailer on the autobahn. What a place. When lorries thunder along, and it's like moving death going in two lanes. And the cars there, the speed limit on the autobahn is 85 miles an hour. But the German drivers completely ignore that and do 110, 120. And so we're on this two-lane autobahn. The wheels come off the trailer in the second lane because we're overtaking a lorry. And we managed to get right onto the hard shoulder again. And all the traffic, the lorries managed to pull up behind us. No damage done to anybody, life or limb. See, God is with us. His angels watch over us, the Bible says. And how we need that. How we need to know that we're under the shadow of his wings. In verse 14, we must finish, but I'm enjoying this. He says in verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Amen. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. If we love the Lord, he says, if you love me, I will rescue you. You see, the ultimate protection today doesn't come from a security system. Doesn't matter how many CCTV cameras they put in our neighborhoods. Our security is not in those things today. It's not in the bank rate or the ISAs or anything else. Our security is in Christ, under the shadow of his wings. And so, Father, this morning we thank you for your promises in your word that you will look after us. That, Lord, if we love you and put you first in our life, Lord, that you will watch over us like that mother hen watches over her chicks. Lord Jesus, you looked out across Jerusalem and you said, oh, I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you wouldn't come. Lord, I pray... I pray that there wouldn't be anyone here who would refuse your offer. Lord, that we will all come today. Lord, and just place ourselves in your care. Lord, trusting you. Lord, we just give you thanks. Lord, that your word has never changed. And Lord, as you blessed the psalmist and looked after the psalmist in his day, and the apostle Paul in his day, the apostle Peter in his day. Lord, so you will look after us in our day. And so we thank you, Lord. And we pray this morning, Father, Lord, for this week ahead, for youth club tomorrow, mums and tots and the house groups and everything that will go on. Lord, a busy week before you again. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon everything. Lord, that you'll just watch over us and keep us. Lord, those who, again, we just commit to Shay and Kelvin to you as they go to university. Lord, be their shield. Watch over them. Lord, again, we pray for a little baby divine this morning. Lord, watch over him and keep him all the days of his life. And for each one of us here today, Lord, we place ourselves into your care and protection for another week. Be with us. Bless us and help us. Provide for us, heal our sicknesses, provide for our needs, Lord. Because we will give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.